The theme this month is on His gift, the promise, the fulfillment, and the result. So just 2 days ago, we celebrated Christmas. And Christmas has so many meanings for so many people in this world, too. To some people, it's a time of just exchanging gifts. To others, Christmas is a time to spend with family. To others, Christmas is about the lights, the sights, and the parties. This is all good and well. But as true followers of Jesus Christ, we know that the true reason for the season is celebrating the advent, the birth, the coming of Jesus into this world over 2,000 years ago, born as a baby in a manger in Bethlehem. That's awesome, isn't it? Yes, it is. The reason for the season is Jesus. You know, Jesus did not come into this world as a political king to establish a political reign as some Jews were expecting. We say it again. Jesus did not come as a political king to establish a political reign as some expected at that time. Like the innocent, humble shepherds knew, Jesus came as the spiritual Messiah. He came as the Christ, the anointed one, to reveal the heart of God the Father to the people. Do you agree with that here tonight?
Yes.
And what was God's heart all about that Jesus came to reveal? God's heart was about love, for God is love. 1 John 4:16. And His love is expressed, in giving. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. John 3:16, the famous scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to be born into this world over 2,000 years ago. So I ask you tonight, why was Jesus born into this world over 2,000 years ago? Okay, those are good answers. Think about this question for a second. Why was Jesus born into this world over 2,000 years ago as a baby? Okay? Sure, as the Bible says in Acts 10:38, His purpose was to do good and heal all the oppressed of the devil, because God was with Him. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with Him. Jesus raised the dead back to life. Jesus healed the sick. Jesus cast demons out of the demon possessed. Jesus went about doing good from age 30 to 33 when He walked the streets of Israel. But ultimately, Jesus was born to die. Let me say it again. Ultimately, Jesus was born to die and become the Savior of this world. Say it with me tonight. Jesus was born to die and become the Savior of humankind. Amen. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. Matthew chapter 1. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Verse 20 of Matthew 1. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, Yeshua, because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus would save his people. He would save the people of this world from their sins. Jesus was born to die and become our Savior in two different ways. Number one, Jesus came to be our Savior in the way of saving us, rescuing us from the grip of sin, from the stronghold of sin, from the chokehold that sin may have on your life tonight. I don't know what you're struggling with tonight. Only you and God know the sin you may be struggling with tonight. It may be a drug addiction. It may be a cigarette addiction. It may be getting drunk and abusing people. It may be illicit sex. Maybe you're looking at things you should not be looking at. Maybe you're stealing. Maybe you've shoplifted. Maybe you've lied. You're dealing with some sin tonight, and only you and God really know what that sin is. But good news is here. Jesus came to save you from the grip of sin, from that sin that is trying to choke your life out. Amen? Say it with me tonight. Jesus came to save me from the grip of sin. You know, maybe you keep doing the thing you hate to do, like Paul the Apostle wrote in Romans chapter 7. Maybe at one time you gave your life to Jesus, but maybe you slipped away. Maybe you never gave your life to Jesus. Tonight at the end, you'll have an opportunity to give your life to Jesus for the first time or to recommit your life to Him so that that grip that sin has over you will be broken. Could you say amen here tonight? So Jesus, as Savior, came to save us, number one, from the grip of sin. And most important, Jesus as Savior, number two, came to save our lives from eternal hell. We were all destined to an eternity separated from God. Paul writes in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. Sin pays a wage. It's called eternal death. It's in the Bible, Romans 6:23. There is no man, there is no woman that could have shed his or her blood to satisfy the wrath of God against sin. There is no one human being, let me say it again, that could have shed his or her blood to satisfy the wrath of God against sin. There was only one, God the Son, Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God, who shed his blood, his spotless blood, once and for all, to satisfy the wrath of God against sin. Once for all time and for all people. Is that good news here tonight? Yes. Jesus Christ came to save us from eternal hell. Now, how does Jesus become your Savior? The one who saves you, rescues you from the grip of sin. How does Jesus become your Savior, the one who saves your life from hell? Any ideas out there tonight? It's simple. How does Jesus become your Savior? By faith and by trust in Him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you haven't done so before, tonight you'll have the opportunity to put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, God the Son, and He will save your soul from a lost eternity. Is that good news here tonight? Amen. You know, when you accept Jesus Christ into your life, when Jesus takes up residence in your heart, guess what? The Zoe life of God enters your spirit. Guess what? When you accept Jesus as Savior, when you put your faith and your trust in Jesus, eternal life begins for you at that point. So if Jesus Christ is in your heart, if Jesus has taken up residence in your spirit, eternal life for you has already begun. And it will continue when you leave your body and go into eternity. Isn't that good news? Amen. That's the Zoe life of God. I'm going to read what John writes in 1 John 5. 1 John 5. If you've got a Bible, you can turn there. If not, I'll read it to you. 1 John 5:11. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. 1 John 5, 12. He who has the Son has life. That word life is Zoe. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. When you put your faith and your trust in Jesus, the very Zoe life of God comes on the inside of you. Eternal life begins in the here and now if Jesus Christ is your Savior and your Lord. And it continues on in heaven one day where there is no more sorrow. There is no more pain. There is no more anguish. There is no more worry. There is no more fear in heaven. I'm looking forward to that day. How about you? Amen. Isn't that awesome? All right. So during this time of Christmas, we celebrate the gift that God has given to us. His name is Jesus Christ. But remember, Christmas is the season of love. It's the season for giving. It's the season for exchanging gifts. We need to give back to God the one thing he asks for. What is God asking us for tonight? God has given us his very best gift, Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. But he's asking for something from us. What is it? Okay, that's good. God is asking for our surrender to him. He's asking us to give our hearts to his Son, Jesus Christ, and submit to the Lordship of Jesus. You see, Jesus wants to be Savior in your life by your faith and your trust in him. But Jesus also wants to be the Lord over every part of your existence. What does Lord mean? What does Lord mean? When I say the word Lord, what comes to your mind? Master, that's good. One supreme in authority, controller. Yes, Jesus wants to be Savior, but Jesus wants to be Lord over every single part of you. And it takes a lifetime, really, to make Jesus Lord. You know, a famous minister once said that becoming a Christian is the work of a moment, but being a Christian over the long haul is the work of a lifetime. How do you be a Christian, if you would? By making Jesus your Lord, controller, supreme in authority over every part of your life, submitting your all to Jesus. Who's in the driver's seat of your life? Who's got the steering wheel of your life? Is it you? Or is it Jesus? Well, guess what? If you've got the steering wheel of your life, there's someone else who wants that steering wheel. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. He wants us to submit every part of our lives to him. It's a daily process of dying to self. And when you can't do it, just pray. Say, God, I can't do this. Give me your grace. God, I can't die to self. But God, I thank you that you can give me the strength, your grace, to die to self and surrender to you and submit to the lordship of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So friends, essentially, we need to practice Christmas daily. Yes, Christmas comes on December 25th every year, but we need to practice Christmas daily. Daily we need to surrender to God. Daily we need to submit to the authority of Christ over our lives. Daily we need to submit to the lordship of Jesus over every part of our existence. Amen?
Amen.
Say it with me tonight. Daily,
I need
to practice
Christmas
in my life.
And
friends, he wants to be Lord over every part of you. He wants you to submit. He wants me to submit every part of us to him. We've got to submit our words to him. Do we talk like the word for world, speaking four-letter words when we stub our big toe? Or do we speak Christ-like words? All right, do we do what the world does with their bodies, sleeping with people who are not their spouse? No. We've got to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ with our bodies. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our body is the temple of God. Let's submit our bodies to the Lordship of Jesus. We've got to submit our finances to the Lordship of Christ. We've got to submit every part of us to the supreme control and authority of Jesus. Is that good? Are you a true follower of Christ? Are you a true disciple of Jesus Christ? If so, if you call yourself a true disciple of Jesus Christ, God the Son, who came to this world as a baby over 2,000 years ago, then you've got to start following Him and submitting every part of yourself to His authority and lordship. You know, I've got clients in my business. They're my bosses. I work for them 6 days a week. You may have a boss. Maybe you work for that boss 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days a week, right? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours a day. Well, guess what? Jesus Christ wants to be the big boss of your life. He wants to be your boss 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Amen? All right. Jesus wants to be Lord over our relationships with others. This Christmas season, you can either bow to the world's ways of selfishness or to the Lordship of Jesus concerning other people. This Christmas season and beyond, because we're to practice Christmas daily, look for ways to give to others during Christmas and the days and the weeks beyond. And you might be saying tonight, but I'm in such a low place. I've got so little money. I've got no money. How can I give of myself? Guess what, friends? There's somebody out there tonight in a lower place than you. There is somebody out there tonight in Tulsa in a tougher spot than you. You've got this awesome shelter over your head tonight to sleep under tonight. There is somebody out there in downtown Tulsa tonight sleeping under a bridge. There is somebody out there in greater need than you. You may not have money, but you've got time. You've got time on your hands. You could visit that person in the hospital. You could visit that person in the nursing home and share the love of Christ with them. Share some of your time this Christmas and beyond. You've got two arms. You may not have any physical resources, but you've got two arms. Share some affection with somebody this Christmas season. You've got a mouth. You've got the ability to speak. Find that person who's depressed and tell them, God loves you and I believe in you. This is practicing Christmas on a daily basis. Is that making sense? You may have a little bit of money to your name. Maybe there's a single mother out there. Go ahead and buy her some diapers for her baby for the week. There's something you can do with the things that God has given you. Your two arms, your mouth, your words, your time. Is that making sense? See, Jesus wants to be Lord, the one supreme in authority over your relationships. How does the world think? As I said a minute ago, how does the world think? The world thinks about me, myself, and I. They're selfish. But Jesus says what? Jesus said, think about others. The greatest in the kingdom is the servant of all. For as much as you have done it for the least of these brethren of mine, Jesus said, you did it for me. When you touch somebody else with the love of God, guess what? You are touching Jesus Himself. Don't think to yourself, you know what? I'm in a low place. Don't keep thinking that to yourself. You know what? God has given you resources. There's somebody out there in a lower place than you. You're not on this earth by accident. You're not a mistake on this earth. It doesn't matter what somebody told you in your childhood. If somebody told you that you were an accident or you were a mistake, guess what? That person speaking that way was inspired of the devil, who is a liar and the father of lies. You're not a mistake. You're not an accident. You're not here without purpose. You're not a spare part in this world. God has got a special purpose and a plan for your life. Say it with me tonight. God has got a special plan, purpose, and destiny for my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. There's only two things that will go into eternity. Friends, only two things, and I'm preaching to myself tonight. There's only two things that will go into eternity. Your relationship with Jesus Christ and the good you did for others when you walked this earth. Those are the only two things you will take with you into forever.